From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Great to be with you today. We got a great show. Soul and blues superstar Betty LeVette will be joining us later to play our game. But first, there's some amazing news this week. Very proud. Carl Castle right here, nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame this week. Along with, that's very exciting, much deserved. Among his fellow nominees, one Howard Stern. I believe he works in satellite radio. This is fitting because, of course, this is not well known. Carl Castle here taught Howard Stern all that he knows. Carl was interviewing strippers back before Howard was born. In fact, Carl's been doing that work so long, the adult film stars he had on as guests back in the day, they were silent adult film stars. Hard to mime dirty, but they could do it.
They could do it. They were very good at that.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to get a voice of a possible Radio Hall of Fame member on your voicemail or answering machine, you know what to do. Give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Camille Mayer from Washington, D.C.
Hey, how are things in beautiful Washington?
Oh, they're hot.
They're hot?
Yes.
And you don't mean sexy, you mean hot.
Oh, a little both. A little
really?
Both. Yes.
Well, welcome to the show. Camille, let me introduce you to our panel. First up, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe magazine and author of the new book, Idiot America, coming soon in paperback, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Camille.
Next, it's one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hello.
Finally, it's a television personality and a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning. Mr. Mo Rocca is here.
Hello, Mo.
Hi, Camille. What do you think is Washington, D.C.'s sexiest monument?
Oh, well, it's the Washington Monument.
I thought so.
Definitely.
That's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it?
I do like the Jefferson Memorial. Don't tell anybody. It's a little thing we have going.
You had a lot of little things going, apparently.
So did Jefferson, for that matter. Oh, come on. It's not too soon.
It is. Camille, Camille, welcome to the show. Now, we have asked you to start us off with a new game that we're calling
Carl Castle's Must-See TV.
America is, of course, in mourning as the TV series Lost and 24 and Law and Order all came to an end. But not to worry, today Carl Castle is going to introduce you all to three new, exciting TV shows inspired, as they say, by true events. Your job, tell us what inspired these fake TV shows, 2 times out of 3. Do that, you won our prize. Ready to go?
Ready.
All right. Carl, press the on button on your remote.
Coming this fall, Will Smith stars as the detached but concerned president, with Jason Alexander as the frightened sea turtle. Nothing could destroy it. Not explosives, not a dome, not putting it on after Jay Leno. Now, America, get ready for Top Kill.
So this new TV show would be about what?
The oil spill in the Gulf.
Yes, the oil spill. Very good. After numerous failed attempts to stop the oil leak, this week BP decided to try something that may or may not work, but definitely sounds awesome. Top Kill. Mm-hmm. The idea is that they plug the oil well by pumping mud down into it, but if you stop up the gushing oil, won't like the earth swell up and then explode? President Obama went down to the Gulf to say that his administration has been fully in charge throughout the 5-week disaster. Good on them. Isn't that a little like claiming you were closely and continually involved in the production of Sex and the City 2?
That's kind of a mean junk shot, don't you
it
think?
It is.
This has given us so much new jargon, top kills and junk shots, and there's others, aren't
Well,
there?
The other one that I think is so weird is the blowout preventer.
Oh, I love a blowout preventer.
Don't you think it's all a little macho? You know,
you think it should be more sensitive if they were more understanding of the oil well blowout?
No. Would
be
no.
Steel magnolias kill? I mean,
no, no.
Places in the heart kill?
No, my point is, gentlemen, is that you have all these macho names for things that don't work.
Oh, really? Did you guys watch Obama's press conference on Thursday? It had a great little personal moment. The president said that in the mornings, his daughter Malia comes knocking in his door and says, "Daddy, did you plug the hole yet?"
Oh,
to which,
gosh.
To which the president responds, "Jesus, who died and made you Fox News? Leave me alone and don't tell Mama you caught me smoking again, okay?" Honestly. Carl, what is next in your primetime lineup?
It's a zany comedy about two neighbors who only seem to agree on their love for kimchi. Hilarity ensues when a game of Battleship gets out of hand. It's got the ticking nukes of 24 with the intrigue of Melrose Place. But watch out, it's not just the jokes that bomb.
That's a TV show about a revival of tension where?
Between North and South Korea.
You're right. Very good. The Koreans. Very good. So, you might think that you're a good parent, but what have you done for your son? Crazy North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il torpedoed a South Korean warship just to create an international crisis so his son, Kim Jong-un, could rise to be the North's great military protector. At least that's what many are suggesting is behind the incident. In the meantime, though, everybody's mad. South Korea declared North Korea to be their, quote, arch enemy, which is a big change from the prior designation, frenemy. Or, as some people put it, given their limited cultural and economic exchanges, enemies with benefits.
It's almost sort of sweet that he did it for his son, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
what
do you want to do for your kids?
I have done a lot of things for my kids. I've coached their T-ball teams. I've bought them guitar lessons.
Have you taken out a neighbor?
No, I haven't. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to resent me for it. Carl, what's the last TV series?
Peter, it's a reality show you didn't know you were on, starring you. The photo of you passed out on the toilet and all your mundane status updates. It's the most entertaining reason why you'll never be able to run for office, get a job, or show your face in public.
So that would be a TV show based on all the unwanted exposure people are getting thanks to the lack of privacy on what?
Facebook.
Right. Very good. Facebook. The social networking site this week announced new privacy protections for their millions of users who innocently posted their photos and personal messages thinking it was just for their friends. And the next thing you know, it all went public and they had to resign their Senate seats. The new privacy settings will let users instantly and easily protect themselves from strangers. This means pictures of the crazy night at Sigma Delta will only be seen by your 1,500 close friends and anybody they know and anybody they know until eventually somebody sends you a hilarious video of a nude guy vomiting into a flower pot and you laugh at it for a good 5 minutes before you realize it's you. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, he's defending this and saying there's no danger, but he was on record. Apparently somebody found a tape of him early on saying that the people who would put private information on Facebook were stupid. He did not call them stupid. He used a term I cannot repeat on the radio. So in his honor, we're going to name such people Zuckers. As in, you thought that wouldn't get out, you Zucker? Carl, how did Camille do in our quiz?
Camille did fine, Peter. Camille, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done. Congratulations.
I top-killed it. Yes.
Hey, you did. You top-killed our quiz. Congratulations. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Mo, you may remember that before we invaded Iraq, our intelligence agencies were trying to figure out a way to bring down Saddam Hussein by peaceful means. This week, it was revealed that back in 2003, the CIA at one point planned to destroy Saddam's support in his own country by filming what?
By filming something involving a lookalike of Saddam doing something disgraceful.
Yes.
Okay, it would have been a lookalike of Saddam doing the hokey pokey, Saddam doing, I mean, I need a clue, doing...
it probably wouldn't have worked because it launched the careers of Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian.
Oh, they were going to do a Saddam sex tape.
That's exactly right. said one official
and
quote.
And the audience for this would be whom exactly?
Well, the idea was, an official says, quote, it would have looked like it was taken by a hidden camera, unquote. It would have featured a Saddam lookalike and a young man.
Oh.
And the idea is that they would have distributed copies around Iraq, and this supposedly would have undermined Saddam's support in the Iraqi public. The CIA ultimately did not go through with Project Saddami because... In the words of one official, quote, in the Middle East, nobody cares, unquote. The agency never made that one, but this is true. They did make a film in which actors playing Osama bin Laden and his lieutenants sat around a campfire and talked about their gay sexual conquests.
Sort Just of like an, Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, pretty much. It would be like an episode of How I Met Your Mullah.
I love the idea of Osama as a chubby chaser called Fatwa.
They're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make a big star.
Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Paige Schramm from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hey, how are things in St. Paul?
It's a beautiful time to be in Minnesota.
It is. And how often can you say that?
Well, we love it here in the summer because we don't go outside in the winter.
I understand. I've been there myself. Well, welcome to the show, Paige. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Paige's topic?
Uh-oh. Time for Plan B.
Things don't always go the way we hope they do. That's why it's important to have a backup plan. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories of people who did not give up when their first shot at success failed. Choose the true story from this week's news. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
First, let's hear from Charlie Pierce.
The economic downturn in Nevada and the environmental crisis in the Gulf have met on the site of a failed casino project in Laughlin, and everything's coming up oysters. Last fall, the developers of the Golden Horseshoe Casino Complex went bust with nothing but the foundation holes dug. Undaunted last week, they reconstituted themselves and purchased the land as Scale Models Aquaculture in order to build Nevada's first functioning oyster farm. Yes, friends, prairie oysters. We've seen the devastation wrought in the Gulf, said company president Walter Welk. This will provide our restaurants with a steady supply of oysters as the tourist season heats up. Scale Models plans to expand the complex to include not only oysters, but scallops and fish as well, making the complex the largest aquaculture facility west of the Grand Banks. Casinos have always loved to have fish coming through the door, said Wanda Kelso, director of the Laughlin Chamber of Commerce. Now we're going to send the fish to them.
A casino becomes an oyster farm in Laughlin, Nevada. Your next story of a backup plan comes from Moraka.
How do you solve a problem like sciatica? The sisters of the Marienkron Abbey in Austria have the answer, and a profitable one at that. Initially, the cash-strapped nuns hatched a chicken breeding business, but that failed. The chickens were presumably too chaste. The nuns then decided to convert their convent into, naturally, a massage parlor. Their five-star spa is alive with the sound of high-pressure jets pummeling guests with chilled mineral water to stimulate the skin. At 100 euros a night, the nuns are doubtless singing, "So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, shiatsu, for you, and you, and you, and you, and you."
Massaging nuns. Trying to make a buck that way. Your last story of Plan B comes from Roxanne Roberts.
Thomas Jendale Smith thought he was a Harvard kind of guy. And so the high school senior was shocked when every Ivy League college, the only schools he applied to, denied admission or put him on a wait list. Within days of the bad news, the computer whiz created IvyLeagueReject.com, devoted to helping other overachieving students stuck in college limbo. Within 2 weeks of launching the site, more than 50 universities bought ads to woo the students. The website even caught the eye of Harvard admission officers, who were so impressed by Smith's entrepreneurial qualities that they rescinded their denial and offered Smith a spot in the class of 2014, which he rejected.
All right, let's review your choices. From Charlie Pierce, a bankrupt casino becomes an oyster farm. From Mo Rocca, a group of nuns not being able to bring any income to their convent opens a day spa with massages. Or from Roxanne Roberts, how somebody rejected from Harvard and other Ivy League schools created a profitable business catering to other rejectees. Which of these is the real story about a plan B?
I think I'm going to go with the massaging nuns because that sounds really cool.
Does it sound, though, enticing?
Yes.
Wow, sounds like you'd make a habit of it. All right, well, that's your choice. Mo's story of the massaging nuns. We spoke to a journalist who was able to inform us about the truth of this story.
The nuns now offer deep tissue massages, fitness classes, and a mineral water treatment involving high-pressure jets to stimulate the skin.
That was NPR's Germany and Austria correspondent Eric Westervelt reporting to us from Berlin. Congratulations. You obviously got it right. Mo, in fact, had the real story. You earned a point for him by picking his story. But more than that, you've won our prize. Carl Castle will massage you with high-pressure jets. No, that's not right. I'm sorry.
Premium members only.
Yes. He will record the greeting in your home answering machine or voicemail. Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And now the game where we ask very famous people very dumb questions. It's called Not My Job. Betty LeVette is one of the greatest soul and blues singers of all time. She started when she was 16. She is still tearing it up. Her new album is called Interpretations, the British Rock Songbook. Think Led Zeppelin with a whole lot of soul. Betty LeVette, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be with you.
So... Let's establish something. You've been singing for a long time. Am I right about this?
You started 48 years.
48 years.
Yep.
So you started when you were very young, back in the 60s, right?
Yes, I was 16.
You were 16 when you released your first record?
In 1962.
Now, you've always been sort of drawn to soul and the blues. Were you born to sing the blues, Betty LeVette?
Well, I'm not a blues singer. I'm a rhythm and blues singer.
Okay.
And there is a distinction. But I pretty much sing just the way I talk. It really wasn't a great leap. They just added some music to what I was already saying.
Okay, can I ask, do blues singers have no rhythm?
Because they're not singing rhythm
you
in
know,
blues.
That is quite often so. I really believe that I am a better dancer than B.B. King.
There you are. Have you ever danced with him? Do you know?
No, I have not had that pleasure.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about your singing, which is extraordinary. You're known, among many other things, for your soulful moaning. So, actually, we have a sample. This is Betty LeVette on our recent record. Some pretty good moaning. And I mean, is that something you had to learn, or does that come natural to you?
I think the entire thing comes natural to me. I don't know that I'm really. But I have not considered it just the moaning part.
Really? you never thought of that specifically?
No, I never thought about that.
I need to do my scales before I sing, and I need to moan a bit to warm up the moaning. No.
But moaning really is very good vocal exercising, and I do have to kind of get some kind of buoyancy to my voice before I go on and just. It's very good for warming up the vocal cords.
It sounds like you ate something really delicious. Like I don't know if you eat pudding, but if you have pudding and it's really good, will you just start moaning?
See, I moan, it sounds like I'm about to vomit. That's why I'm not a soul singer.
Do you think it's
Plus, I'm always like, oh.
Well, wait. Do you think it's really moaning? I think it's kind of like a mmm. I mean, I wouldn't call that a moan,
it's per se. It's like a mmm.
Sort of like a mmm.
What do you call it?
This is the first time I've actually ever discussed it.
I understand.
Simona, that's...
Now, I want to talk to you about your new record, because one of the reasons that you are here with us is because our very own Carl Castle helped host the Kennedy Center Honors. He was the announcer there backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard you. This was just recently. They were honoring The Who. Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey were there.
Mm-hmm.
And you came out and you did a version of their song, Love Rain Over Me, which
mm-hmm.
apparently melted the Kennedy Center to the
ground. Crazy, great.
Yes, crazy,
amazing.
But your new, I guess, inspired by this, your new CD is all British Invasion covers.
Yes, my husband, Kevin Kiley, he, after the great success of Rain Over Me, he said, why don't you do a whole album like that? And I said, well, if you'll listen to them all and find some for me, then I'll consider it. And he found about 500 songs, and I chose 12 of them.
So, yeah, I mean, some of the songs are All My Love by from Led Zeppelin song, mm-hmm. Paul McCartney's Maybe I'm Amazed, mm-hmm. Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd. You had not heard these songs before?
I had heard 7 of them.
Of the 500 British Invasion songs, you'd only heard 7 of
them?
You
know, when these songs were released, there was black radio and there was white radio, and rarely did the twain meet.
Right.
You know, so all of these British artists say that the inspiration for these songs were from black music, but nobody on white radio played them.
So now that you've heard them, what do you think of this Led Zeppelin? You think they're going to amount to anything?
I'm just glad that I have my name in their conversation
there you
now,
go.
After
it's
all
very exciting.
This time.
I know. It's one of the things that's funny, though, is in Robert Plant, former lead singer of Led Zeppelin, now wants you to open for him, right?
Yes, we'll be going out in July.
That's fantastic. Now, you did this remarkable record of covers of British Invasion songs. Do you know what's next? You're going to do, like, I don't know, Miley Cyrus songs? I mean, as you say, they just wrote on the page.
I have no idea, honey. This little mess just started working for me. There's no need in jumping forward.
I understand. Okay. Things are happening. Enjoy it while it happens. One last question. We ask this, Betty, of all the musicians on our show, so we'll ask you, what would you say is the sexiest musical instrument?
Probably the saxophone, because they ran the Adolf Sax out of town because women were flocking to see him purse his lips to embrace the saxophone.
So, no, what is this now? This, you're talking about Adolf Sax himself?
Adolf Sax, who invented the saxophone, yes.
And you're telling me that Adolf Sax was run out of town because he was seen to be...
You know, when he would appear for his concerts, they didn't want young women to go, and they were falling in love with him everywhere.
He was too lurid?
I used to be madly in love with Grover Washington when we were working there in the same band, and I just think he was one of the sexiest saxophone players I ever knew.
Wow, that's very convincing.
You know what, Betty? I got to say, you had a lot of fun, didn't you?
You certainly did.
Oh, absolutely. The only thing the show business owes me at this point is money. I am absolutely. That's the only thing it owes me.
Other than that, you got paid.
Yes, absolutely. I've done things that people have dreamed of with people that they dreamed about.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry, hold on.
I love that.
Hold on, stop. You said, I've done things that people have dreamed of with people that they have dreamed about.
Jeez.
That calls for a moan.
It really does. Well, we are delighted to have you, Betty. We've asked you here this time to play a game we're calling...
Gosh, I don't remember any of the Disney princesses doing that.
You may have heard that Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York,
mm-hmm.
was caught recently asking for a massive bribe to introduce an undercover journalist to her former husband, Prince Andrew. Turns out that is not the only colorful thing that Sarah Ferguson has done in her long public career. Since you are a queen of rhythm and blues, we figured we'd ask you about the Duchess of Ruckus.
Okie dokie.
Get two right, you'll win our prize. One of our listeners calls voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Betty Levette playing for?
Betty is playing for Rachel Kastelic of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Ready to go?
Yes, I am.
Here we go. Here's your first question. Sarah was known for her non-princessy ways. On one of her first visits with the queen, her future mother-in-law, she committed a faux pas when she did what? A, she referred to the British monarch as Liz. B, she accidentally kicked one of the Queen's corgi dogs. Or C, she reached over during dinner and stole one of Prince Philip's potatoes with her fork?
No, I think it was the fork thing.
You think it was the fork thing?
I think she wanted to call her Liz, but I think it was the fork thing.
You think it was the fork thing. That's a given her future career, that's a reasonable guess. But I'm afraid in this case, what happened was she accidentally kicked one of the corgis.
Oh, okay.
She says, quote, "You would have thought the little yapper was bound for the royal kennel in the sky."
I'm loving it.
That's okay. You still got two more chances here. You get these ones right, you'll still win. Now, for a long time, Sarah was very close with Princess Diana, who was another outsider who had married at the royal household. Together, their silly pranks irritated the press and other royals, most notably when they were photographed on one occasion doing what? A, poking people's behinds with their umbrellas at Ascot, the races. B, putting shaving cream onto the hand of a sleeping Prince Edward and then tickling his nose. Or C, making bunny ears behind visiting dignitaries at an official state function.
God, I just hate to see either one of them doing any of those things. Bunny ears.
Bunny ears, or like walked up behind him, made the bunny ears? our panelists are moaning in disapproval of that choice.
Well, then why didn't they give me some kind of clue?
Well,
you sound like the pip.
And they're doing this choreographed dance as they do it. It's very exciting to watch.
Okay, you know what? I can't imagine these women poking people with the thing, but I'll go with that because it's so absolutely absurd.
It's true, though. You got it. Well done. Yeah, the Ascot, as you may know, is one of the most fancy events of the aristocratic social season, and they were there poking people's bottoms with their umbrella. Caused quite the scandal. All right.
Hitting them right in the ascot.
Exactly. Last question. If you get this, you win it all. Fergie and Di did, in fact, have a falling out before Di's death. What did Sarah do to so enrage Princess Diana? A, Fergie said that she got a bad case of warts from borrowing Diana's shoes. B, Fergie had shown up at Wimbledon wearing exactly the same hat, which Diana had first. Or C, Fergie said, quote, "Thank God Diana's sons got her looks, but their grandmother's brains."
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's just terrible. Okay, I'll just go with the shoes. But that's just like the other thing. That's right. Just so awful.
So you're going to go with the warty shoes. You're right. That's what happened. She says, Fergie published an autobiography in which she told the story of how she got these warts from Diana's shoes. Diana was so upset that she cut her off entirely socially.
It seems like with these bras, you just have to go for with the worst thing.
Right? You know, just go right to that. Carl, how did Betty Levette do in our show?
Well, Betty had two correct answers, Peter, and that's enough to win for Rachel.
Well done. Congratulations, Betty.
I feel brilliant.
You are brilliant, and you're beautiful, and you're great, and we love having you. Congratulations, the new record is fantastic. It'll be fun to see you out there with Robert Plant. That'll be great. You show him
thank you.
You show him how it's done now.
Thank you.
Betty Levette is a soul, blues, rock, and funk legend. Her new album is called Interpretations, the British Songbook. It is out now. Go get it. Betty Levette, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, baby, for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
In just a minute, Carl stuffs a rodent into his trousers in our listener limerick challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Progressive Insurance with more than 30,000 local independent agents. Information is available at progressive.com. The John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. And Lumber Liquidators, whose flooring includes pre-finished and stained hardwoods, bamboo, cork, and laminates. Information at lumberliquidators.com. We will be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Roxanne Roberts, Charlie Pierce, and Mo Rocca. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. In just a minute. Fresh off his American Idol finale, Carl introduces our newest limerick judge, Ryman Cowell. If you'd like to play, give us a call. 1-888. Wait, wait. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Charlie Ann Curry of The Today Show gave the commencement address at Wheaton College in Massachusetts. She praised that school's famous graduates. Just one little problem. What?
The alumni she mentioned went to the other Wheaton College.
Exactly right. Funny thing about Wheaton College, turns out there are two of them. Who knew? Not Ann Curry, apparently. Because in her speech praising the graduates of Wheaton College in Massachusetts, she listed people like movie director Wes Craven, Billy Graham, people who had graduated from the other Wheaton College.
Whoa, whoa. Wes Craven and Billy Graham went to the same school?
They did.
Obviously, the lessons didn't take on one of them.
Yeah. Once Ms. Curry realized her mistake, she was mortified. She sent an apology letter to Wheaton's website. She lists famous graduates she should have named instead. However, the apology fell flat when she praised actual Massachusetts Wheaton alum Christy Todd Whitman for her incredibly delicious candy sampler. Roxanne, the top kill method may or may not work ultimately, but whether or not it does, there's a lot of oil already floating in the waters of the Gulf. Well, it may get cleaned up via radical, innovative new technology developed by whom?
Probably not radical. It's probably not new, and it was probably created by a 5-year-old.
No, it is somewhat innovative and
it
radical.
It is innovative.
Never been
and
tried
radical.
Before.
Oh, is this not the cigarette butts? Is it?
This is not the cigarette butts.
Okay.
Cigarette butts.
Well, they're collecting cigarette butts to
they're
use.
Absorbent, as,
yeah,
they're absorbent.
Yeah, it's a different environmental thing. I'm going to
give you a hint.
Yeah,
think
hint.
Dancing with oil leaks.
Oil Field of Dreams,
for example.
Gosh, I can't.
All right, this is. A television or movie?
It's a person. A surprising person who developed
Kevin Costner?
Kevin Costner developed this technology. That's right.
If you spill it, he will come?
Something like that.
Is this a Waterworld?
Kevin Costner. Well, apparently, yes. While he was in the set of the movie Waterworld.
Realizing that his movie career was at an end.
Well, like I said, while he was in the set of the movie Waterworld, Costner became really interested in ocean water quality as opposed to being interested in making Waterworld a better movie. So he eventually spent $24 million of his own money to develop these high-tech centrifuges that can separate crude oil from water. If it works, they can be dispatched to the Gulf Coast where they will clean the water, recover the oil, and restore the wetlands. In response to critics who said this is impossible, Costner replied, "Not as impossible as me winning a Best Director Academy Award." If this works, he is ready, or rather, if it doesn't work, he's ready with technologies inspired by his other movies. For example, one idea is to build a baseball field in the coastal wetlands, and once the ghostly baseball stars appear, you can put them to work cleaning up the spill. There's also his approach based on his movie The Postman. You bore the oil so much it turns into an easily removed mass.
Aren't centrifuges like big spinning things?
Yeah.
It's like big spinning things you put in the water?
Well, apparently the idea is you'd put one of these machines that he's developed on a ship. You'd take the ship out, you put a hose on one side of the ship. It would suck up the oil, saturated water. It would spin out the oil. You'd recover the crude oil. And then it would shoot clean water back into the Gulf on the other side.
Oh, Bull Durham.
Charlie, jobs for musicians have been hard to come by during the recession. However, bagpipers are newly in demand in Vienna, Austria. The city of Vienna is using them to do what?
All right, why would you? Obviously, they're not herding sheep or goats or something through the streets of Vienna.
You're actually fairly close.
What? Are they doing a Pied Piper thing?
Are they driving out
rats?
They are driving out the rats.
Excellent!
That's what they're doing. Specifically, they're driving the rats out of the sewer drains.
And the people out of their minds.
Pretty much. The historic sewers of Vienna were made famous in the Orson Welles film The Third Man, and they got a lot of tourists, but they were closed because of fears of these rabid rats who were living down there. But after noticing the surprising lack of rats at a given chieftain's concert, tourism officials had an idea. The sewers are now open to the public, but every tour group is now accompanied by a kilt-clad bagpiper. There are bagpipers wandering through the sewers of Boston.
Why aren't they accompanied by a hazmat suit-clad bagpiper? I mean, do you have to wear the kilts to play the bagpipes?
So that's become a problem. The tourist board is now considering sending in bigger rats to scare away the bagpipers. Okay. what if this catches on? What if instead of mouse traps, there'll be like tiny little Scotchmen behind your fridge? I caught one. Got him by a little Dalian. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website, which is waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, or you can check out our blog, where you can tell us what you really think about today's show on our open thread. Find it at waitwait.npr.org. You think we're really asking for it, don't you?
I think it's like a comment section underneath an obituary. Like, you know, like some... You got to be careful. I mean, interactivity is only good to a point.
Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Paul from Warren County, Virginia.
Hey, Paul, where's Warren County?
Well, you know how Virginia comes to a point at the top?
I've heard that Virginia has a point, but I don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, I'm still trying to find it, too.
I know.
It's close to that.
Close to that. So you're near Northern Virginia there.
Right, exactly.
I understand. Well, welcome to our show. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you'll be a winner. Here's your first limerick.
Old animal games we inherit. They're fun and deserving of merit. We put on big pants and start an odd dance once we have inserted a...
A ferret.
Yes, a ferret. Well done. A ferret. There has been a revival of the centuries-old sporting competition called ferret legging. It originated in Yorkshire, England. It involves men sticking ferrets down their trousers... to see who can endure them scampering around down there the longest. This is real. But as ferret legging makes a comeback, animal welfare groups are getting involved, arguing, quote, we fear that if this contest is allowed to go ahead, it will set back ferret welfare by over 20 years, unquote. But did anyone ask the ferrets? Maybe they view it as their own fun and historic competition. A ferret endurance test known as pants spelunking.
This is not a traditional Scottish sport, then. I mean, you couldn't do it with...
A kilt.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In Scotland, we use the Wolverine.
Well, very good. Here is your next limerick.
Parents begin some deep sighing when kids cry and then start denying. As false tales they tell, their future bodes well. They'll succeed when they get good at...
Lying.
Right. Next time, your three-year-old blames a friend for stuffing Daddy's iPad into the toaster, console yourself with the knowledge that your dishonest child will grow up to be a successful dishonest adult. According to new research by Dr. Kang Lee at Toronto University, children able to tell plausible lies at the age of 2 show signs of a quick brain. Quote, those who have better cognitive development lie better because they can cover up their tracks. They may make bankers in later life. That confirms what we've always known. The only difference between a banker and a lying, snotty toddler is about $5 million. Let us move on to your last limerick. Here it is.
Hear my corduroys whiff as I dance. See, I generate sparks as I prance. I'm saving up amps to light some street lamps. Electricity drawn from my...
Yes! Where else? Throw away your cell phone chargers and extra batteries. Soon you will be able to get a charge out of your pants. Even if there is no ferret down there. Researchers at UC Berkeley have invented a kind of microscopic fiber fabric that produces electricity from basic body movements, bending, stretching, walking, fleeing the ferrets.
Wait, the fabric? I'm sorry, what does it do?
The idea is that the fabric will have sort of these nanofibers, electrical fibers in them, that when they are moved, generate a charge that can be collected and stored in a battery.
You know, this is like old pantyhose. 40 years. Excuse me.
Wait a minute. Do you,
this is not news.
Do you use your pantyhose to charge your cell phone?
You know?
Not her cell phone.
I would say that women have known about various possibilities of pantyhose and sparks and everything for many, many decades.
What is going on down there?
We don't necessarily have to share this information.
Carl, how did Paul do in our quiz?
Paul had 3 correct answers, Peter. So, Paul, congratulations. You win our prize.
Well done, Paul. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks for playing, and bye-bye.
Bye.
I need a battery and more electricity. I need a battery and more electricity.
Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Peter, one of those rare instances where we have a tie for first place among the three. Bo Rocca, Roxanne Roberts, and Charlie Pierce each has 3 points.
Okay. We've randomly selected Mo to go first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, the AP announced that President Obama would be sending 1,200 National Guard troops to the blank.
Border.
With Mexico, right. In the wake of the recent disaster, the head of the agency that oversees blank resigned on Thursday.
Well, it's the minerals and something.
Minerals and mining. Yeah, yes, offshore drilling is the answer. Yeah. Experts debated whether it was a rat or a vole that scurried in front of blank's podium during a recent press conference.
President Obama?
Indeed. 13.6 million viewers tuned in for last Sunday's broadcast of the finale of the TV show Blank.
Lost.
Right. A Massachusetts man was not injured even though he was blanked at work.
Top killed. I don't know.
No. Sucked into a sausage machine.
Oh my God. He's fine.
A month after his daughter issued an ultimatum, former President Blank said he had almost reached his goal weight for her wedding.
President Clinton.
Right. This week, 13-year-old Jordan Romero became the youngest person ever to climb blank.
It's got to be Mount Everest.
It is. When asked by reporters whether she was scared when a snake started coming out of her car's air conditioning vent, a Texas woman said blank.
She said, God, it could be anything. She said, I thought it was my husband.
No. She said, well, somebody crapped my pants. That's what she said. Patty Everett.
You're not going to get any electricity that way.
No. Patty Everett thought her brother was playing a prank when she saw the snake's head come out of her Buick's air conditioning vent, but it was no joke. A local veterinarian ultimately removed the 18-inch-long snake from her car. Carl, how did Mo do in our quiz?
Mo had a good round, Peter. 6 correct answers, 12 more points. He now has 15 points, and Mo has the lead.
Well done. All right. Charlie, you're up next. Please fill in the blank. Federal forecasters warned that this year is likely to have an extremely active blank season.
Hurricane season.
Right. Television innovator and host of Kids Say the Darndest Things, blank, died at age 97.
Art Linkletter.
Right. Lee DeWise beat out Crystal Bowersox to become the 9th season winner of blank.
American Idol with silly names.
Right. Disgraced cyclist Floyd Landis confessed to using performance-enhancing drugs and said he had witnessed blank doing so as well.
Lance Armstrong.
Right. The mystery of a constantly draining hot tub at a safari park in South Africa was solved this week when the staff discovered blank.
That elephants had been drinking out of it.
Exactly right. One in particular. Every morning the staff would fill the hot tub. Every night it would be empty. Plumbers had no explanation and no leak could be found. It was only when a park visitor heard loud slurping noises that the culprit was discovered. Carl, how did Charlie do on our quiz?
Charlie had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 13 points, but Mo still has the lead with 15.
Well done. All right, Mo. So how many does Roxanne need to win, which I know she loves to do?
6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
Here you go, Roxanne. You like a challenge. Here we go. Congress voted Thursday on whether to repeal the military's controversial blank policy.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Right? Although its landing this week was supposed to be its last, NASA is pushing for one more flight for blank.
Atlantis.
Right, the space shuttle. In an effort to build trust between nations, this week Britain revealed the size of its blank.
Nuclear arsenal?
Right. The FDA is considering endorsing a new drug that many are calling blank for women.
Viagra.
Right. A software designer in New York has come up with a new web application that protects users by eliminating blank online.
Posting yourself drunk?
No. Any references to teen heartthrob Justin Bieber. In a move that shocked his fans, country legend blank cut off his braids.
Shocked his fans. I don't know.
Willie Nelson. One study estimates almost 5 million hours of productivity were lost worldwide when Google posted a blank on its homepage.
A Pac-Man logo.
Right, a Pac-Man game. You can play it. A team of bank robbers in Germany attempting to rob an ATM by blasting off the front with explosives instead blanked.
Leveled the building.
Exactly right. Building was leveled. The only thing left standing undamaged, the ATM machine. Carl, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
Well, she needed 6 to tie, and she had 6 correct
Amazing.
Answers. So with 15 points, Mo Rocca and Roxanne Roberts are this week's co-champions.
Mazel tov. Well done.
All right, we're going to have to... Yeah, okay. Settle we're going to have to form a coalition government, I guess.
No, no, we're going to settle the tie with a little ferret legging.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict how will BP finally stop the oil leak. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and LendingTree, whose financial tools include Loan Coach, offering personalized advice for every step of the lending process at LendingTree.com. Angie's List, providing consumer reviews on local professionals from physicians and veterinarians to plumbers and roofers. Details at Angie'sList.com. And to the National Association of Realtors, providing information for those buying or selling their homes at HouseLogic.com/buy-and-sell. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR, Chicago Public Radio, in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer, Philip Godica, writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. This week, we welcome our new intern. It's Siri Belusu. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarczyk and Mohammed Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. B.J. Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White, the senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, how will they finally stop that oil leak? Charlie Pierce.
They will take the members of the board of directors of British Petroleum and put them in the hole one at a time.
Roxanne Roberts.
A team of female engineers will finally stop the leak using a combination of chewing gum, clear nail polish, and disposable diapers.
And Mo Rocca.
Kaopectate, also known as bottom kill.
Well, if BP does any of those things, panel, to stop that oil leak, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
You, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Charlie Pierce, Roxanne Roberts, and Morocco. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal, and we'll see you next week from Seattle, Washington. This is NPR.